Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
I've entitled this message, Scammed. It's prevalent. We see it. People, friends, some of us have been victimized. We see it in the news, in social media, in MRT stations, and even in buses. It's a lie that is meant to look exciting and good in order to extract money or to even get relationships that are invalid or to give us health claims in order for us to shop or buy or spend. For every scam that there is a scammer. There's somebody out there who's perpetuating this, and it is a good picture of the devil. He is, after all, the Bible says, a thief. Devil 101 is who is he, and where is he, and what's his motive? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 tells us how we have fallen from heaven. Satan, Lucifer, the angel of light, the beautiful cherub that Ezekiel calls, came from heaven. He was once upon a time an angel who decided to rebel against God and caused a commotion there and got a third of the angels to rebel against God. That's where he was from. He was the morning star. He was a beautiful angel. He was the son of the dawn. And yet, the Bible says, he was cast down to earth and made low to the nations. Jesus no less said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He's talking about this morning star who have been cast down to earth, which is where he is now, and once made low the nations. Isaiah 14 verse 13 says, you said in your heart, there it is, his motive for doing what he does, is he wants to become like God. I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. These are part of the five I wills of the devil. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. The devil's ultimate goal is just to be the ruler, or is wrongly perceiving the idea that he can actually do that. He's deceived himself. Now, the first thing I want to point out is a healthy perspective of the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, Paul writing to the people in Corinth, another reason I wrote you is to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. He's talking about standing the test and being obedient in everything. And here's why. In order that Satan might not outwit us. The devil's schemes is really what we're looking at. This is a healthy perspective when we understand that the devil is about schemes. He doesn't have the power to necessarily kill us or destroy us. He has schemes. And here's what Paul says. For we are not unaware of his schemes. A healthy perspective about the devil begins by somebody who does not minimize his schemes. People who have an unhealthy perspective of the devil have a tendency to minimize his schemes. One way people minimize his schemes is they don't even believe that he exists. In fact, that's what Satan wants us to do. In many places, even people who profess to know Jesus do not believe that Satan exists, or marginalize him, and sometimes even mock people who believe that Satan does exist. Well, Satan does exist. And his whole goal is to make us not believe that, so that, can you imagine if someone was scamming you and you didn't know the scammer existed, then you are prone to be scammed for certain. Number two is we reduce the force of his works. When we minimize the devil, when we minimize or reduce the actual power of his works, we use terms like dysfunctions for the things and the works of the devil, or politically incorrect when we label things that we say about the devil. For example, when we speak of abortion as murder, people say that's politically incorrect. Or we call affairs adulteries, or adulteries affairs. We reduce the force of his works. Thirdly, we minimize his ability to deceive us. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 says, for such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. Now watch this. These are supposed to be people who represent God, if not Jesus himself. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Satan is very wily and very smart, and is very capable of deceiving us. And when we minimize his ability to do that, we are minimizing his work in our lives. To oppress us, we minimize the reality that Satan does have the ability to oppress us, in some cases even give us infirmity. He may not be able to kill us, but he can oppress us. And when that happens, we become discouraged and we give in. Acts chapter 10, verse 37 says, "You know what happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing," watch this, "all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." The power of the devil can oppress us, can give us infirmities and diseases. When we minimize his ability, we minimize the reality that he can actually destroy us. We minimize his ability to torment us. The Bible tells us that torment is just a higher level of oppression. And in some form, when we graduate from being deceived, oppressed, and tormented, we can be possessed. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, "A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly.'" A healthy perspective does not minimize the schemes of the devil, but actually is aware that these things are real. Now, there's a second way that things become unhealthy or healthy. A healthy perspective, one, does not minimize the devil's schemes, but on the other hand, it does not magnify his schemes either. For some people, we look at the devil like a bad version of God, who is just as powerful as God, who is just as strong as God, and that is not true. As we saw in earlier scriptures, he was cast down from earth and had no power or ability to do anything with to God. And so we fear the devil, but we think that he's because he can oppress us or torment us or even possess us or deceive us. If we didn't allow him to deceive us, there is no chance of him even oppressing or tormenting or even possessing us. But when we're deceived to think that he is omnipresent, which he's not, right? And because only God is omnipresent. He is not omnipotent like God. He's not all-powerful. He's not here right now. And he is not omniscient. He doesn't know what you're thinking. He doesn't know what's happening in your life. God does. Long before you even actually think about it, God already knows it. The devil is not like that. The idea behind this is called dualism. This idea that we're naturally a good side and a bad side. There's an angel on my left and a devil on my right. It's a theory that considers reality to consist of two irreducible elements or modes. And when we start believing this, then we start living this rather than believing that we are sons of the living God and have the power to live the life, because greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. It's the quality or state of being dual or having a dual nature, a doctrine really, that the universe is under the dominion of two opposing principles, one which is good and the other which is evil. And we see it all throughout our lives. And please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't watch Panda, Kung Fu Panda, but let's face it, the message of that is very clear. It's yin and yang. These things come together and make us whole. It's the same message of Star Wars. Star Wars talks about the dark side and the force, which eliminates God from the question, and it's a battle among us and men. That the dark side is really the people who are rebelling, but really have the same power as the people of the force. And there's not even a mention of God. And please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not trying to tell you to throw away your Lego toys and your games. What I'm trying to tell you is when you see that, you need to realize that's not true. That's dualism. God is sovereign and is more powerful than any scheme of the devil. When we magnify it too much or minimize it too much, we lose our ability to overcome him. Thirdly, we watch all kinds of movies that are inspired by the devil to make us afraid, of things that are not even real. Think about zombies. When was the last time you saw one? You never saw one, but you keep believing they're out there. He magnifies himself through the spirit of fear and literally allowing him to terrorize us. A healthy perspective does not minimize his schemes, neither does it magnify his schemes. When we're well aware of his schemes. Revelation 12, verse 7 tells us, "There was a war that broke out in heaven, started by Lucifer trying to stage a coup over God, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. They wanted to see if their power could fight the angels of God or God himself. But the Bible says in verse 8, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven." That's what happened to the devil. He was cast down. The great dragon was hurled down. The ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, was hurled down to earth and his angels with him. You're probably wondering, why did God not just kill these angels and their demons? Well, you see, God is sovereign. God knows that if he kills the devil, we will all be serving God out of fear. By allowing the devil to live and tempt us, we have the freedom to choose whether we're going to love him and obey him or succumb to the temptations and the wiles and the seductions and the offerings of the devil. You see, when you're forced to follow somebody, that's not love. That's love is to have the freedom to make the choice. God wisely threw Satan on earth to be able to test the reality of our love for him. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits or the teachings of demons. These are really the small temptations and deceptions of the devil that form habits in our lives. You see, the devil is not omnipresent, omniscient, or omnipotent, and so he uses habits to bring us to a place of being in autopilot. Our lives now become a source of influence for others because he's not everywhere like God is, who can reach you and talk to you wherever you are. The devil is very wily, and he uses these schemes to influence us. He uses celebrities, friends, family members, or different people that he has tempted or deceived to be the very source of influence for others. Second point is, it will always start with a temptation. The schemes of the devil are very simple. The first name of the devil is the tempter, and it will always start with a temptation. A temptation is nothing more than a seduction to engage in. It's an offer of something attractive, something beautiful, something smart, something that's tasty, something that's nice, that is probably at the beginning even harmless. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says, in latter times, some will depart from the faith and will follow deceitful spirits. That word deceitful spirits is actually translated also seducing spirits. Seducing spirits, or seduction itself, is temptation. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean you sin. We are all going to be prone to a temptation. An offering, for example, of a donut, that's why they call it a temptation, is not a sin. It's something that will happen to you and me in the course of our lives. It's when we bite in the donut that we fall for the sin, and now we just didn't get tempted, we actually sinned. Jesus, no less, was tempted. And if he was tempted, so will we be. But the devil told him to turn the stones into bread, and he refused to do it, and said, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil offered him the kingdoms of this earth, and he said, no, I'm not interested. Throw yourself down and prove. He said, I don't test God. I love God more than anything else. When you are tempted, you're being tested by the devil to prove your love for God is stronger than any seduction that he has to offer. But it will always start with temptation. The seduction to engage in, which results in to question God's word and his character. We see that in Genesis chapter 3, where the devil offered Adam and Eve this seductive offer to become like God. And notice what happens after he made that offer. Did God really say? Questioning the word and the character of God. And when that happens, we end up biting. Seduction or temptation is simply a seduction to engage us in, which results in questioning God's word and his character. And when we do that, the goal of all of that is to form a habit that is destructive. It's no different from the algorithms you now see on your phone or on the internet. Every time you look at something, whether that's pornography or even shopping, or anything that you're watching, it measures your algorithm, and at some point, it keeps offering you the same thing. That is what is known as a familiar spirit in spiritual realms. Something or someone who's familiar with you because he did the same thing to your father and to your brother and to your grandfather and his great-grandfather and your great-grandfathers before you. You see, the devil, while not as powerful, is an eternal creature. He's been around for so long, he knows every trick in the book. His goal is to make that little thing get bigger and bigger and bigger until you're in autopilot. He's not omnipresent. He's not there all the time. And that's why his goal is to start you out with a temptation, to seduce you, to engage into something, to question God's word and character, and finally, to form a habit that is destructive. The question, therefore, which is my last point, is how do you triumph over temptation? Very simply, Jesus put it this way, pray every day. He said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. It's very simple. When you acknowledge the presence of God, when you talk to God every day and say, God, I love you. I don't want to be around anything. I don't care about any offer the world has to give me. You will never be tempted. There might be an offer of temptation, but you will not fall into temptation. There's a difference between the two. We will always be offered temptations, whether that's on online, TV, friends, family, but the point is falling into temptation. As a practice, I watch and pray when I'm washing dishes, shaving, taking a shower. I do it not just once, but multiple times in the day. Reason why is because the spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. And when I pray every day, I tap into the power of God, the presence of God, the person of God, the purposes of God, the provisions of God. And as a result of that, I triumph over temptation, not just because I pray every day, but I pray multiple times in the day. As I've said, whether I'm brushing my teeth or whatever I'm doing, I'm praying. And finally, declare the word over his schemes, which is what Jesus did. He was tempted, but he said, nope, not interested. Offered the kingdoms of this earth? Nope, not interested. Throw yourself? Nope, not interested. If you're going to win against the author of sin, you need three things. A healthy perspective that begins with does not minimize his schemes, does not magnify his schemes, but is well aware of his schemes, knowing it will all start with a temptation, a seductive offer to engage in, to question God's word and his character, to form a habit that is destructive. How do you triumph? Simply put, pray every day, pray multiple times in a day, declare God's word in prayer over that situation. Join me in a short proclamation of Jesus as we pick up a piece of bread and a cup and pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, you've shown us you have overcome temptation and not sinned against the Father. You also showed us how to do it, to pray every day, multiple times in a day, and to declare your word as we do. And as we do, may you embrace your words and watch and pray so that we will not fall into temptation. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.